Good afternoon. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church for this, our second Advent midweek service, continuing on in the season of preparation for our Lord's Nativity. Special thank you to our day school chime choir, led by Mrs. Karen Beadle. We appreciate their effort and their work and the leading us off with that special music for our service today. There will be a dinner following our service here this afternoon that will go to support our 6th and 7th grade students in anticipation of their class trip the following spring, so you can join us for that if you so choose and help support them in their upcoming endeavors. Now, we do have a voters meeting this coming Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock to decide the budget for next year, so if you're a voting member, hope you plan to attend. Other announcements for the week you can find printed in Sunday's bulletin as we look forward to many more activities as the body of Christ here at St. John in celebration of Advent and Christmas. Order of service for tonight is Divine Service Setting 1. It begins on page 151 in our hymnals. We sing now the first hymn, 341, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our heavenly Father, your Son possessed power even over the demonic realm. Grant us your Holy Spirit through the word of the gospel, that we might know Jesus rightly, worshiping him as Lord over all creation. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Advent midweek service is from Zechariah chapter 13. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, so that they shall be remembered no more. And also, I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Jesus has
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The overarching title for this Advent sermon series is one word, Dominus. The root meaning of this word is to rule, to lord over. Of course, this is a title we most often use for Jesus. And we do so because the Bible does so. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, Peter said. And Paul writes in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That word for Lord gets used almost 600 times in the New Testament alone, most of which are referencing Jesus Christ directly. Our Advent series, therefore, is taking a look at the Lordship of Jesus Christ as presented in Mark's Gospel. Last week, our focus was on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and tonight, as we follow the story in Mark's Gospel, we focus on the hearing of Jesus' Lordship over the satanic realm. That's rather fascinating. To take all that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ from his earthly ministry and move backward in time to his nativity. There's a popular Christmas song that is now over 30 years old. It asks a series of questions to the Virgin Mary about her thoughts about Jesus. "Mary, did you know?" is the repeated question. Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby would give sight to the blind? Did you know that your baby has walked where angels have trod? These specific questions and others like them poignantly put the hearer in the perspective of young Mary. She pondered all these things, kept them in her heart. Well, truly, Mary could not have known all that awaited her son. Perhaps if she had allowed her imagination to wander, she may have drawn some connections with all the Old Testament prophecies and figured that this, her son, would do some amazing things. What is not mentioned in that popular song is Jesus' power over the satanic realm. Mary, did you know that one day your baby boy would cast out demons, having bound the strong man and plundered the goods from his very house? The Lord Jesus would go on to use that parable to teach about his power in exorcisms. He says no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Jesus makes it clear here. In this story, the strong man is Satan. His house is this world around us. Jesus is the one who has come here into this world and bound up Satan. And by the power of his word, the Lord Jesus keeps Satan at bay. Jesus then is free to cast out demons from those whom they possess, taking from Satan's possessions here and adding people to the reign of heaven. Mary could not have known All that Jesus would one day do, no one could have known save God alone. Yet the holy angels give us a clue at Jesus' birth. Memory verse for this week in our school is Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What would the angel mean by identifying Jesus as the Lord? The angels would have full knowledge of Jesus' identity. The holy angels there that night gladly sang at Jesus' birth, for they saw in that manger the God who created them, the eternally begotten Son of God, their Lord and our Lord. And as Lord over all the angels, Jesus Christ is Lord over the holy ones and the fallen ones. And these fallen ones would be the ones Jesus would encounter later in his ministry. The fallen angels were the unclean spirits, the demons, whom Jesus would forcibly cast out by the authority of his word. While it is fascinating to think of Mary throughout Jesus' childhood, it is perhaps even more remarkable to consider Satan's perspective. Satan, did you know that the Christ child was there in the manger? Satan, did you know that Jesus would grow up and remedy the curse of all sin? Satan, did you know that the baby Jesus was protected by the holy angels? Satan and his minions no doubt had knowledge of God's plan, for they knew the scriptures well. And they certainly recognize the Son of God in Jesus when they see him later on in his ministry. Did Satan hatch devious plans to derail the plan of salvation while Jesus was a baby? Certainly Herod's attempt to kill the baby Jesus can be seen with the devil's fingerprints attached. But what else did Satan attempt when Jesus was growing up? No matter what it was, it did not work. God had sent his holy angels to announce Jesus' birth on that night, and the angels, we know, came to minister to Jesus following his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Jesus was certainly well protected. And there, in that little baby boy, born in Bethlehem, lying helpless in the manger, was the Lord of all heaven and all earth. There was the one who would assert his lordship over the satanic realm throughout his salvific ministry. That little one, who could not even yet speak, would send the demons fleeing with the power of his voice. Illnesses had to obey him. Wind and waves listened to him as though they had their own ears. Even death was undone by his spoken whim. Everything falls in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in tonight's gospel text, there is a specific incident with a demon, though it is not quite what may be expected. Jesus had been teaching there in that synagogue in Capernaum on a Sabbath day, and immediately there was one in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, a demon. Though the usual description of one with a demon is not given by Mark, he is not described as displaying great feats of strength or of chaos, foaming at the mouth, etc. Now, Jesus had been busy teaching there in that synagogue, no doubt his usual message of repentance. But what happens when unrepentant sinners hear the message of repentance? They squirm. They fight. They defend themselves. They resist. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Nothing overly demonic in that question. Even others who were there in that temple, in that synagogue on that Sabbath day, may have resonated with that question. Who is this guy, this Jesus of Nazareth, coming here into our synagogue, calling us to repentance? But then the demon reveals more of his identity. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The seemingly normal individual reveals the unclean and unbelieving spirit within him. And it is not until Jesus speaks directly to the demon that the dramatic behavior begins. The spirit convulses the man, screeching with a loud voice. And he leaves the man. The crowd is left amazed by Jesus. What is this? A new teaching with authority. That is Jesus, the one with authority. One who has authority has received that authority from another, and yet God did not receive authority from any other. He is the author of authority, its originator. And that is Jesus, the one lying in the manger, the author of all authority. He has the power over demons, over illness, over death. He has the power over sin. And he has conquered sin in his own death and destroyed death in his own resurrection. Such a powerful Lord over the devil and all of his realm, this baby Lord who has made you his own in baptism, feeds you with his own body and blood in his supper. Jesus Dominus, indeed. Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from
Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For an appreciation of the joy the disciples felt when in the presence of Jesus, that we would share that same joy when we receive Jesus in absolution and the Lord's Supper, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Matthew, our synodical president, for Michael, our district president, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Joe, our president, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel throughout this holiday season, that they would be kept in safety, and that all would be granted a joyful time in your house and together with the ones they love, let us pray to the Lord. For all who are suffering in any way, especially those we name now silently before you. That God would give them strength to endure and healing according to his will, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For all of these things and all else that you know that we need, we pray to you, dear Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give
thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
welcome to the Lord's table.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Seated now as our closing hymn is sung.